There are a lot of barriers to mental health care in the United States. Insurance, cost, availability of therapists or psychiatrists, and on and on. For people of color, these barriers can be much higher. And there's something else in the way.
Fewer than 4% of licensed psychologists are actually people of color. So when you're looking specifically at psychologists who are able to provide mental health needs, the number is incredibly low.
That's Dr. Joy Harden Bradford. She's a licensed psychologist. And what she's saying there is that for people of color, especially Black would-be patients, it can be difficult or impossible to find a therapist who understands the experiences they bring to the table. And that can be a major deterrent to seeking care in the first place, as well as getting care that actually works. Takeaway host Tanzina Vega spoke with Dr. Joy and Imadi about the lack of Black therapists and what's keeping more people from getting into this line of work.
I think one of the main things is that it takes an incredibly long time. So you're looking at least 10 years of school plus additional training. And even after you have received your PhD or PsyD, you still have to do another 1 to 2 years of training under someone else's license before you can operate independently. So when you're looking at like finances and who really is able to be in a position to be able to do that much school and to, you know, support themselves and maybe a family even afterwards, you may be cutting off a lot of people who economically just could not be able to do something like that.
Dr. Joy, do you also find maybe that there is a cultural element, or at least there has been maybe in the past, a cultural element to not wanting to be involved in mental health services? I think, you know, I'm Latina. I know that in our own community, there has historically at least been some reluctance to getting involved either as a patient in this line of mental health. So do you think cultural issues play into it, or is it really just a question of access to education?
Well, I definitely think that there are some cultural issues when it comes to seeking services. I have found that far less in terms of people like wanting to be therapists. I think that there's actually a lot of interest, you know, in younger students I see who are interested in psychology and exploring it. But I do think the access to being in an educational program, and not to mention the educational programs themselves, are sometimes very difficult. So just like we think about the microaggressions that exist in any other workplace, sometimes there are a lot of microaggressions in graduate programs. So they are not always the most welcoming for students of color to even participate in.
Imadi, you started the online space Depressed While Black. Why did you decide to do that?
Well, originally, Depressed While Black started as my thesis at Columbia University for my nonfiction creative writing program. And I didn't know any other Black person who was dealing with depression. And so it was a way for me to basically chronicle how I'm trying to survive and live dealing with clinical depression and chronic suicidal thoughts. But it was also a way to find out who else is out there and kind of try to create that sense of community.
How did that sense of community come about? Because it is very difficult, particularly in communities of color, to talk about this and to feel that there's, that you're safe talking about it. So how did you see the community begin to grow?
It's just the more that I shared my story on Twitter, on Facebook, on Tumblr, there were just more people just saying, me too, I'm going through this too. And in the beginning, the challenge that I experienced and the challenge that my community experienced was just kind of the silence or the apathy that some of our loved ones had when it comes to us asking for help. The first time that I told my mom that I'm going to therapy, she told me, did I pray about it? And I said, yes. And she said, you know, well, did you have your pastor pray about it? And I said, yes. And it was kind of a shock to her to realize that you can have a robust spiritual life and still deal with mental illness. And so a lot of us were trying to find people who were not demonizing our condition, who were not saying that our condition is the result of some sort of spiritual deficiency. But someone, we were looking for people that said, I feel it too, and that there's nothing fundamentally wrong with us.
Dr. Joy, do you find that in your practice with patients that you see, patients of color in particular, that faith or religion, which can sometimes be helpful, can also be a hindrance to people wanting to seek mental health care?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm really glad that Imade shared that story, because I think that that is so many people's experiences, especially in talking with family members. And there has been a very common misconception that mental illness comes from a weakened faith relationship, or there's something that you're not doing, quote unquote, correctly in terms of your faith relationship, when, of course, we know that it is not connected to that at all, that people in all walks of faiths, independent of a spiritual practice, can struggle with mental illness.
Are there other things, Dr. Joy? We talked a little bit about faith here and somewhat about cultural issues. Are there other things that keep people of color from asking for mental health services?
Well, I think finances are another huge issue, you know, and coupled with finances, I think just the managed healthcare system is very difficult to navigate. And so, you know, if you are looking for a therapist who accepts your insurance, it may be difficult to find someone who is still accepting that insurance plan. And then if they're not, then cost can be an issue because, you know, therapy ranges sometimes between $75 to $250 per session. So when you're looking at your budget for the month, it may come down to like, okay, can I afford to go to therapy, or can I afford to put food on the table? So I think finances and health insurance are another barrier to access.
Imade, that's something that comes up a lot when I talk to just, you know, friends and people who have been trying to access healthcare, that increasingly mental health providers don't offer health insurance options. And it's even more difficult if you're looking for someone who takes insurance. When you finally went to a therapist, did you have that experience? What was it like for you?
It actually was a scary experience for me. At the beginning of me asking for help, I was on a Los Angeles highway speeding, wanting to die. And it kind of gave me a huge wake-up call that I needed to get help. And so I was a USC grad student at that time, and both of the counselors told me that I need to quit school and get a police escort to the hospital. So I wasn't really introduced to therapeutic services. I was basically introduced to a punitive system when it comes to me asking for help. And so I do want to note that that some Black folks that are asking for help, we're not even getting to the therapeutic part of the mental health system. We're getting into the incarceration system. And so a lot of times we're getting filtered out of the services that we need the most. So I pretty much had to negotiate with these therapists and said, you know, I don't want to go back home, but I do want to get help. And eventually we settled on getting a therapist because I couldn't afford outpatient therapy. So some of the challenge is the fact that we're getting funneled into the incarceration system. We're getting, you know, low wage jobs that don't include health insurance. And so what I experienced when I was living in New York in the summer of 2018, I didn't have health insurance. I had to use OpenPath, which is a great directory of low cost therapists. And so, but some of those therapists sometimes aren't necessarily offer the treatment modalities that we need. Some folks, Black folks, are dealing with what I have, which is borderline personality disorder, which requires a particular type of treatment modality, which is dialectical behavioral therapy. And so the challenge also is not having health insurance and not being able to afford some of the therapists that can offer some of the really in-depth treatment modalities that are needed.
You mentioned the modalities, the different type of treatment options, and you're very knowledgeable about what issues you're dealing with specifically and then what treatment you need for that. Where, Imade, does race play into this? Is it important for you to make sure that your therapist is also Black?
Yeah, race plays a huge role because sometimes our symptoms are not considered symptoms. They're considered something that maybe we're making it up in our head. You know, maybe when that coworker said an insensitive comment to us, sometimes what I heard in the past when I had a non-Black therapist is that therapist kind of turned into like almost like an investigative or a defense attorney. And so they're grilling me on like, are you sure this happened? Are you sure they said that? Are you sure you're having a bad day? It was almost like I was made to prove that racism exists, that I was dealing with this racial incident at work. And so it was so hard for me to say, hey, like, I want this therapy to be a safe space where my experiences as a Black woman are not questioned as if it doesn't exist. And that was a huge challenge for me, dealing with a non-Black therapist.
Dr. Joy, we know that healthcare disparities exist, particularly among racial lines. What is it, in your view, that makes it so important for Black people to have access to Black therapists in particular?
Well, I think just as Amadi has mentioned, just the idea that therapy should be one of the few safe spaces that you may have in your life. And so, you know, for people across the board really have difficulty making that first call to talk with the therapist. And so when you finally work up the courage and the nerve to make that call, and then you go to an experience that's invalidating, it makes it much more likely that people are not going to try therapy again. And so it's important for people to have experiences and spaces where their authenticity and their experiences are not questioned. And I think that is why so many Black people are looking for therapists who are also Black.
I mean, should someone stop looking if they can't find therapists of color? What do they do if they're not coming up with that? Is any therapy better than the best therapy that you think you might need?
I tend to think so, yes, because I don't think, you know, of course, there are definitely non-Black therapists who do create invalidating experiences. That definitely happens. But then there are some great therapists who are not Black. And so I think it is important, you know, if ideally you would love to work with another Black therapist, but your search is difficult and you're just not able to get that for whatever reason, I do think it is important to explore other opportunities, namely looking for someone who has the expertise in the area that you're struggling with, and to be very open with that person and talking about issues around race and culture. You know, some therapists are perfectly willing and, you know, excited about having that kind of conversation and want to do what they can to make sure that you do have a good experience with therapy. So I think if you can't find what you're looking for in terms of race and culture, then it's important to find someone who has the expertise and then share any concerns you have about microaggressions with that therapist.
Imadi, in your experience, I mean, are you noticing people in your own peer group either talking about wanting to access therapy more, talking about mental health issues more? Because I feel like there has been a shift, particularly among younger generations of people and women of color in particular, who are talking about these issues. Are you seeing that?
Yeah, I think that there's a huge cultural shift that's happening. I feel like I'm a part of the first generation of Black people that are openly saying they're going to therapy. I mean, definitely Black folks have been going to therapy for a long time, but I have not witnessed us actually communicating, you know, loudly that we're doing it in such an affirming way. And I think definitely Dr. Joy's is a huge part of that movement. I mean, Therapy for Black Girls, the directory, it's a huge game changer. Before, you know, the most that I can do to try to find a Black therapist is to go to Psychology Today. You know, you select African-American amongst the choices. But, you know, there was also a lot of white therapists in that list. So, you know, there really wasn't dedicated spaces where Black people can find therapists the way that we do now. And I think it's amazing. Even my mom, I mean, she has complete turnaround. She went from, you know, not thinking I need therapy to helping me pay for therapy. So it's a huge cultural shift that is happening as we are like loudly saying, you know, that Black people are worthy of mental health care.
Dr. Joy, any closing thoughts on that, in particular what white therapists could do better if they're treating patients of color, particularly Black patients?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think it's really important for white therapists to be able to name any concerns that might be existing in the space. So I know a lot of times people want to say like, oh, I'm not going to bring it up unless the client brings it up. But I think when the therapist actually brings it up, it makes it so that that issue is talkable, so to speak. So if I go to you and you know, you say like, hey, I know that culturally we're different and I just want to let you know that it's okay to talk about any things. I'm human. I may make mistakes. Please let me know if there's something that I do that feels insensitive. And to really allow space for that conversation, I think is really important. You don't have to wait until the client brings up something to make sure that that issue is okay to be discussed in your space.
Dr. Joy Harden Bradford is a licensed psychologist and host of the Therapy for Black Girls podcast. And Amadi Bora is a writer and mental health advocate and the creator of Depressed While Black. Thanks so much to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.